Welcome to the Grilling Truths NFL Legends Show, brought to you by Gridiron Mo. Gridiron Mo is a new interactive football app where you get to call what you think the offense or defense should do during a live NFL game and see what all other fans have called also. Check out Gridiron Mo at www.gridironmo.com. As always, for the NFL Legends Show, I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. And tonight, our guest is one of the best running backs in the history of Stanford football, and also one of the best all-purpose backs of the 1980s in the NFL. Help me welcome to the Grueling Truth, Darren Nelson.
Hey, man. How you doing?
All right. It's great to have you on, Darren.
Thank you.
Let's start off from the start. Can you talk a little bit about your childhood when you first fell in love with the game of football?
Oh, my God. I played baseball. That made me fall in love with football. I played center field, and I played in a game one time, and I did not even move. And I told, and my grandfather loved baseball, and he wanted me to play so bad. And I said, Grandpa, I can't do it. And so I just played a whole game. I didn't even move except when I was at bat, and I hit the ball. That was me out there. I didn't move at all. It was just too slow for me. And
football, I had the same problem because my dad loved baseball, but I just couldn't stand that because unless you're pitching, you may move two or three times.
You may not have to move at all. That doesn't make any sense to me. It makes no sense. So I'd be in center field, and I would run full speed three or four times in the game, and I'd be like, this doesn't make any sense. So I stopped.
Well, so some baseball players that are overweight, too, Darren.
Well, yeah, like a few of them are, but yeah, I don't think any center fielders are, though.
No, they had to run a little bit more. But I read that you wanted to go to Cal, but they thought you were too small. Was that kind of a driving force during your college career to prove them wrong?
It was always a driving force against them.
Well, I know you had some big games against them, too. And when you first got to Stanford, the head coach, and I think it was his first head coaching job, was Bill Walsh. What was it like to play for one of the most innovative coaches in the history of football?
You know, it was interesting because he told all of us what we needed to do to play, which meant we had to be able to block, we had to be able to catch, we had to be able to run, all these things we had to be able to adjust to silent audibles, all these things. His office was crazy, but luckily we could pull it off. But I mean, we were young, and you know, this is my first offense after like high school. Anyway, high school, you know, we run the ball four or five times, same play, throw the ball two or three times. We had no play scripted for the first 20 plays in the game, and then we had my whole high school career.
I had a question about that, because they always made a big deal about how he scripted plays and some of his assistants that got head coaching jobs after that did. Did he ever vary from the script at all?
Rarely. Very rarely. Our first 20 plays were scripted. And rarely did we deviate from it. Let's say we got like a third and one or something, and we had a pass play call. We might run the ball or something like that, but very rarely did we deviate from it.
Now the thing behind the 20 plays, the way I take it at least from seeing some of his talks and everything, was basically to go out and see how they would adjust to different formations?
Absolutely, and set them up for other things we were going to do later.
He was definitely one of the greatest offensive coaches of all time. He proved that in the NFL also, but he had a lot of success at Stanford too. I think you guys, the 2 years you were there, I think you made bowl games both years.
Yeah, we did. We made bowl games both. We beat two SEC teams, beat Georgia, and we beat LSU. And they weren't ready for us. I thought they just weren't ready for us at all, especially for offensively. Stopping us offensively. They just weren't ready.
The SEC back then was kind of like the Big Ten was the last 15 years when the SEC took it apart with all their speed.
Right. The Pac, but you know what, the Pac-10, it might have been the Pac-8 then, I think it was the Pac-10, but you know, Washington was really good, USC, UCLA, and I think they took us for granted we were going to be this like team that didn't really do much. But we had some really good players. James Lofton, Ken Marjoram, you know, Guy Benjamin, all these guys. These guys could play. I mean, we completely, like, routed LSU. And I remember talking to one of the guys recently that I met. He said that we just weren't ready for you guys because you guys had way more than we thought. And I go, well, that's what happened.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Cal-Stanford rivalry. I know you had some of your biggest games against them.
What
was that rivalry like?
You know, Cal?
Yeah, Cal and Stanford.
You know what? They made me so mad that we lost one game when I was at Stanford. That's because I didn't play.
Yeah.
And I think that to this day because when you, like, hear that you're not capable of doing something from somebody and then you go to, like, a rival, it's very interesting because you get to play them four times. And I never heard from anybody that I was not big enough to play football ever, except from Cal.
Yeah.
And that just infuriated me more than you'll ever know.
Well,
I'm over it now, though.
I think you changed their opinion. You still sound a little bit mad at them, too, Darren.
It's not that I'm mad at them. I'm just mad that they didn't see that they had this player. I mean, I got recruited by Nebraska, UCLA, Stanford, but not Cal. I'm like, hello, the place I want to go to, you guys didn't recruit me? Really? But it doesn't even make any sense to me. So,
yeah, but it worked out for the best for
funny,
you.
Yeah, but it worked out great.
Yeah,
it really worked out great. I got one of the best. With the offense we ran in college was harder than any offense I ran in the NFL. You're just not even close.
Yeah. All right. So your senior season, you finished 6th in the Heisman voting. You're also a great student from what I read. What would you tell a player coming out of high school about the importance of getting an education?
Well, number one, I think athletes should follow their dreams. So if playing means that much to you, you know, definitely go for it. But I think you always have to have a backup plan because football is a weird sport. It can end at any time. And if you don't have a plan for it to end, you're in trouble. And so I think that, you know, student athletes should give serious consideration to what kind of degree they're going to get and where they go to school and what can happen if they don't play football anymore. Now, I know everybody likes to think that, you know, they're above that, they won't get hurt, and that's fine. But it's always good to have a contingency plan.
Yeah, and even if you don't get hurt, I mean, if you play a 10-year career, you're 32 when you're done playing football, and you still have over half your life to go.
No, more than that.
Yeah. Well,
you have a lot more than that. You have your whole life to, like, live and do things. And, you know, a lot of players, you know, especially nowadays, they make enough money where they can, like, be okay. But back when I was playing, that wasn't the case. So we had to do other things, and that's fine. But I think that you have to, like, find something that you need to do or want to do. Now, a lot of people think they should go into business for themselves and you know, do all these crazy things. But just do your homework before you retire and figure that stuff out.
Yeah. Now, you were drafted in the first round with a 7th pick in the 1982 draft. Being a California guy, what was your first reaction upon learning you were headed for Minnesota?
Oh, God, I didn't want to go. You know what? I told them that, too.
Now, would you get to the Vikings? Was there anybody that kind of took you under their wing to help you out?
You know, everybody helped. You know, all the running backs were fine. I learned a lot from Ted Brown, Ricky Young, Tony Galbraith was there. I learned a lot of stuff from those guys. They did not hesitate to help me. And it was an eye-opening experience because, you know, you go to training camp, you know, and you're like in this. I was in Mankato, Minnesota for like a month. I still can't figure that out today. But it's just a weird experience because, okay, here's what happens. So they draft you, right? They give you a check for a signing bonus. And then they tell you you have to be somewhere at a certain time. And then they tell you when training camp's over, you need to – they give you no time to, like, adjust to being there when training camp's over because the games are week after week after week. And then you don't get a week off to get adjust to training camp. You have to go straight to the next game. So you have to find a place to live, buy a house, whatever you're going to do. So it's pretty hectic. And if you're not used to, like, dealing with, like, money and that kind of thing, it's hard. And guess what? It's hard for everybody because nobody's used to dealing with money because we all come from college.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to me how that process worked where you go to training camp. You know, you kind of show up there, and then you have to go immediately to, like, moving and finding a place to live in that area after training camp's over. And it's like, and things have to happen so quick. And that's the hard part. Things have to happen so fast. Okay, you make the team. You know, you're living in this dorm on some college campus for a while, and then you have to go and move and find a place in the city. It was within a week because you have to, and not even a week because it's like between one preseason game and the first regular season game is like 1 week. So that's all you got. So you got to gather all this stuff, move all your stuff, and do all that. And
now,
then you have to.
Go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I'm done.
All right. What kind of adjustment was it, being a running back in college to being a running back in the NFL?
You know, the funny part was it wasn't that big an adjustment. Because the Vikings asked me to do the same thing that Stanford asked me to do. I had to – there's an old saying in the NFL, the more you can do, the longer you get to stay. And the Stanford asked me to run – catch passes out of backfield, block, return kicks and punts every once in a while. They didn't want me to do all that at Stanford. They didn't want me to return kicks and punts that often because they thought it was too much. And with the Vikings, it was the same thing. You know, learn the offense, run, catch the ball out of the backfield, block, return kicks and punts. And that's the same thing I did in college. But my offense in college was more complicated than the Vikings offense was.
Yeah.
So it was the Vikings offense was easy for me to learn.
All right, now your first season was cut short after just two games because of the player strike. Can you tell us what that time was like for you as a player?
Good. Do you want to hear the truth?
Yeah, I always want to hear the truth. That's why they called a show The Grilling Truth, Darren.
I thought it was great. You know why? I'd already gotten my signing bonus, and it was a lot of money. And I went to Hawaii for like a month.
So what's the first thing you bought with that signing bonus?
A trip to Hawaii for a month. No, man, I'm telling you. You know, everybody was like worried about the holdout and saving money, because I just got my signing bonus. I'm like, cool, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to hang out. And I had a ball. And I worked out the whole time, but I was like, oh, okay. Number one, there was a lot of discord amongst the veteran players because, number one, they weren't getting paid, right? But the rookies that came in and just signed contracts, we got signing bonuses. And now, since I was a first-round draft pick, I got a big signing bonus. So that didn't bother me at all, not one bit. I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to Hawaii, and I did. I spent a lot of time in Hawaii, and I had a lot of fun. And I stayed in shape because I went every day. But it was weird to me because you hear about, you know, okay, here's the funny part. Before the NFLPA normally goes on strike, they normally warn the players to save money.
Yeah.
Now, do they? No. And a lot of them don't. So they ran plays every time. When I was like my second or third year, we all strike again. And they wanted to save money. I saved money. I went to Hawaii again. But, you know, the guys don't save money. They don't prepare for it. They warned us and tell us, we can prepare. Guys, prepare. We could be missing some games. Prepare. They tell us way in advance. And a lot of guys just don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. All right, you were coached by another legend. I mean, you got to play for, two legends during your career. In the NFL, you got to play for Bud Grant. What was Bud Grant like? I know that I've interviewed, like, Matt Blair, guys like that, who played with the Vikings, and they all talk about the sense of humor he had. Do you want to speak about that a little bit?
Oh, my, yeah. You know what? He killed me. He used to give me such a hard time. I think that's probably because I was the first one to wrap it. But he gave me a hard time all the time. Nelson, keep your helmet on. You know, even when it would be like 9,000 degrees in Mankato, Minnesota, and like at 12 o'clock in the middle of the afternoon. And he kept bugging me about that. Like, why do you keep bugging me about that? And so he goes, you just never know when something's going to happen to you, or you need to go into the game. You need to keep your helmet on. So I guess there was this garter snake that was crawling around where the Vikings facility was, and I took my helmet off like I always did, just did not pay attention to him at all. He put that garter snake in my helmet, and he told me to get in there. And of course the garter snake comes out of my helmet, down my face, through my leg, down the rest, down my leg. He didn't bite me, but I was like, ugh. I was like paralyzed. And he goes, he's on the ground laughing. He goes, Nelson, I told you to keep your helmet on. Now you believe me.
Did you keep your helmet on from then on?
Around him, I did.
Now, another guy that I hear was a character from former Vikings that you played for was Jerry Burns. What kind of guy was Jerry to play for?
Well, number one, it took me about a year and a half to understand what he was saying. I could not understand what he was saying for like a year. I was sitting next to somebody going, what the hell, what did he say? You heard Bernie go off before, right? I couldn't understand him. Not one word. He's just the opposite coordinator. I'm talking to him, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. Speaking some foreign language, and it wasn't because he wasn't football. It was just how we talk. So I needed like an interpreter in my like rookie year. I really did. I could not understand that man at all. Zero. I had to sit next to Tim Brown and Ricky and go, "What is he talking to me? What is he saying?"
And you talk about Ted Brown, you bring him up. That's a guy that I think is really forgotten. It was really a heck of a running back.
Yes, he was. You know, Ted Brown was one of the smartest guys, football smart guys, and I learned a whole lot from him. A whole lot. Him and Ricky Young, I learned the most about playing running back in the NFL. It's almost like I owe them my 11-year career. I really do.
Yeah, and those are guys that don't get brought up much. I think Ricky Young, didn't he come out with Robert Brazil and Vernon Perry from Jackson State?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and Walter Payton. That was a heck of a Jackson State team. Now, after leading the Vikings in rushing five of your first eight seasons, October 1989, you were part of the all-time biggest trade in the NFL's history. Five players, six unconditional draft picks, and a 1992 first-round draft choice to Dallas for running back Herschel Walker. How did you learn about it?
Jerry Burns told me the same day.
Now, I know you refused to go to Dallas. What was the reason for that?
I figured if the Vikings could just trade me off to someplace, then I would want to go someplace I wanted to go to.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually had a job and was working and was making enough money that I was fine, whether I played football or not. And so they didn't have that leverage over me. I was like, no, sorry, I'm not going there. Y'all can send me there. And I went to Dallas, and I told their coach I'm not staying here. Said, you guys can trade me to somewhere in California, or I'm just gonna not play.
Yeah.
It's good to have leverage.
Yeah, it's always good.
You know what? Okay. But you know what? So NFL teams have so much leverage over players. It was really fun to be able to tell them and dictate to them for a change instead of them dictating to me.
Yeah. Now, did you ever regret the move since the Cowboys a couple years later won back-to-back Super Bowls?
Nope. Because I went to California, was closer to my family, and I loved every minute of it.
It's a hell of a lot warmer, too, Darren.
That's true.
So after 2 years with the Chargers, you returned to Minnesota as a free agent, played two more seasons, retired following the 92 season. Is there anything you would change about your career, or what makes you the most proud of your career?
Well, they say the average career in NFL is two and a half years.
Yeah.
I played a lot longer than that, so I'm really proud of how long I played. It goes back to that old saying, the more you can do, the longer you get to stay. I could do a lot of stuff. And so I love the fact that I could play that long, and my NFL pension, I love the fact that I played that long, too.
Yeah.
But of course, there are things I would change. You know, I would, if in 1987 against the Washington Redskins, I wish that would change completely. But that's just part of football.
Me too. I was cheering for you guys in that game. I wasn't going to bring it up. You brought it up, so
it's okay. Go ahead.
No, there's nothing to bring up there. You addressed it. I mean, you were a great player, Darren, and I mean, you had guys. I mean, who was the Dallas Cowboy to draw the tight end? Jackie Smith. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame tight end. He dropped a pass, and that's all what people remember. And that's a damn shame when you got somebody that plays that long, contributes that much to the game, and that's what people remember.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, how do you feel about it? I mean, you know, when people bring up Darren Nelson, I mean, a lot of fans, the first thing they think of is that drop pass.
Well, that's okay. You know, a lot of those fans wanted to do what I did.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't, and they couldn't. They're not talented enough in that area. So it's okay with me. I know. Trust me, it doesn't bother. It bothers me more than it will ever bother them. Or it used to bother me more than it would ever bother them.
Yeah. But I know after your playing days, you went back to Stanford. I think you were, a senior associate athletic director. The one thing that I wondered from looking at your career even after football is Stanford, you get the football program. But you left, went down the coast in 2011, took a similar position at UC Irvine, no football there. What drove you to do that?
You know what? My parents were getting older. And I hadn't lived anywhere near them or been able to come see them since I left to go to college. And I felt like I needed to get closer to my parents. I took my mom to breakfast like last weekend. And it's just good to be able to do that. And so I felt like I needed to be closer home. Nobody in my family has ever lived outside of California but me. I'm talking about everybody. Not just me, my brothers, sisters, cousins, nieces, nephews, everybody. I'm the only one that kind of like fled the coop and left. So I kind of felt like I needed to get back closer to my family.
Yeah. Now, you've spent basically two different places, same job for over 15 years. What makes you enjoy the job?
I love the fact that I get to deal with student athletes, and they always have questions about, you know, being recruited or, you know, dealing with their parents or overbearing parents, and I've been through all of it. So there's not a whole lot I haven't seen. So it's just fun to talk to the students, to talk to the parents, to tell them to let their kids grow up. But I also get to deal with a lot of coaches because I deal with coaches too, and I hire a lot of coaches. So it's fun to like work with and help develop coaches. But it's also fun to work with the student athletes in their development and the parents, let them realize they need to let their kids go. Let their kids grow up.
Yeah, and that's hard to do for almost every parent.
I know, but you got to do it, especially when they go, come on, man, when they go to college, you got to let them grow up a little bit.
Yeah, but I went to college. I don't want my kids doing the things I did, Darren. And I didn't do anything that bad, really, but still.
But you know what, though? You know what? That's none of your business anymore. Get over it, parent, man. Okay, now, you have any kids?
Huh?
You have any kids?
Oh, yeah. I got a 22-year-old daughter and 15, 13-year-old boys.
Okay, you're a 15, 13-year-old boy. He's going to go to college, right?
Yeah, the 15 and 13. Hopefully they both do, so... My 15-year-old is one that is extremely talented and thinks that he doesn't have to do his schoolwork, which I got to work on right now. It's hard to talk some sense into a 15-year-old dude, Darren.
Well, that might be a good idea. You might want, you know what, but you can also tell him that his athletic career will end if he doesn't do his work. If
oh,
he
I do.
Sports at all.
Yep, and I mean, it's like I said, though, you know, I mean, teenagers are really hard to get through to.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of let them figure it out on their own a lot of times and just be there when they fail and try to pick up the pieces and get them to put it back together.
Yeah, that's true. I hear you.
But lastly, I mean, I know you were inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. What did that mean to you?
Oh, man, first of all, it was a lot of fun. I had family and friends from all over the place come. It was great, you know. I didn't expect it at all. And you know how they let you know?
How's that?
They send you a football with a congratulations. You've been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. They say you were painted a football like when you get a football for like being the outstanding player in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this just showed up. I had no clue.
Did you ever think for a second maybe one of your friends was just messing with you?
Oh no, not from this. it was very official. If one of my friends was messing with me, my friends wouldn't spend that kind of money.
So, other than your job, what occupies your days nowadays?
Well, first of all, since I work with a lot of sports, my job, especially on weekends, is just pretty full. I have a grandson who's 7, who is an unbelievable athlete. I have 2 sons, and my oldest son went to Oregon and played football there, so I was at Oregon half the time when I was a few years ago. You know, I like doing a lot of things. I like, for instance, today, you know what I did today? I talked to a parent and their daughter about coming to UCI to play volleyball. And I love every second of that kind of stuff because, you know, parents are a little apprehensive and the kids are apprehensive. This is basically best place for me and all this kind of stuff. And then you talk to them and they see you and you talk about they meet the coaches and they go on recruiting trips, they see the facilities and they decide after that. So, you know, there's constant things I have to do. I have coaches' contracts to deal with, assistant coaches' contracts to deal with, you know, budgets, travel, all kind of things, and I love every second of it because I just like the whole idea of a college athletic.
Well, I'll tell you what, Darren, we're almost out of time here, but I want to thank you for coming on. It's really good to talk to somebody that has what's important in life in perspective.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But so anytime you want to come on, you're more than welcome. We'd love to have you back anytime.
All right, man. I appreciate it.